Good evening. So my name is Ashley Tice, like Eric introduced, and I am from EA Engineering. I have been working on this project for about 2.5 years, and so I could give more than a brief presentation, but I am trying to keep this to 10 to 15 minutes. I can certainly answer questions after this presentation, and Eric is also, if you need to email anything afterwards, he can forward those on to me for technical information. And as a background, my education is in both civil engineering and environmental science. I specialize in natural resources, and I do a lot of work on fish passage projects in particular. So the need for the restoration project is based on anecdotal evidence that the water surface elevations in Warwick Pond have been rising. We estimate that it has been about a foot of additional elevation over the past 10 years. We performed a study, EA Engineering, under the first of two contracts, and we confirmed that the water surface elevations were rising due to a stand of Phragmites australis, which is a invasive species in wetlands predominantly. And the problem with this type of invasive species is that the more of the vegetation, the more sediment it captures, and so the more sediment, the more space there is for a root wad to continue growing. Another issue and need for this restoration project is that fish passage has been continually decreasing from year to year, and we'd like to see that go up. So basically the reverse of the need are the goals. We'd like to restore flow capacity to reinstate the active floodplain, meaning less flooding during larger storm events, improve fish passage, and restore habitat by removing that invasive species. So the first of two contracts that I've worked on for the city of Warwick was the actual bathymetrics survey and remedial action plan. As part of our contract, we prepared base plans that were ready for permitting. We conducted a field survey, which included bathymetric survey of the mouth of Warwick Pond and additional cross sections down Bucky Brook. I believe we ended up taking 13. We had hopes of taking more, but the vegetation was so thick that we had to limit our goals. And additional information that we collected were wetland delineation for permitting, and we conducted sediment probing for the construction stage to know how much sediment we would need to remove. We also referenced existing studies that had been performed by the watershed associations and RIDEM. And we came up with an H&H memo with proposed alternatives for removal of sediment and invasive species. And the intention was that would be attached to any permit that was submitted. So our findings from the field data collection and H&H modeling was I realize this is a little small, but there is a blue section, a hatch section on, yep, thank you, Eric. And that's about 920 linear feet, 1.5 acres of a stand of Phragmites. And while that is not the only frag in the area, through H&H modeling, specifically I model in HECRAS, we found that if we could minimize the amount of removal, if we just removed that stand, we could actually reduce water surface elevations. So the three conditions that I modeled in HECRAS were the existing conditions with the frag. Alternative one was the removal of the frag and an approximate 2-foot depth of root wad. And the reasoning that we would remove that root wad is so that the invasive species didn't instantly come back. And also because of all that sediment that is captured in that root wad, it's artificially raising the channel bed elevation. And alternative two was the removal of frag and the modification of the channel bottom, even where the frag had not yet invaded. And so our findings was basically that even if we did channel modifications, there were no significant surface water level reductions above and beyond just removing the frag stand. And so again, under the guidance of doing less is more, we propose just remove that frag stand. Actually, Eric, can you go back just one slide, please? Yep, okay. And so here we have the proposed change in surface water elevation. Under what I am calling the approximate observed day, which is we were in the field in June of 2017. We hope to see, and our models have been very accurate on the projects that we have worked on in the past, and they are per standard for RIDEM's regulations. 1 foot of reduced surface water elevation in the Warwick Pond and at the mouth of the Warwick Pond, downstream you will gradually see less and less of a change in surface water elevation, and that is because eventually proposed surface water elevation will have to meet existing. And under the 5-10-year, 25-year storm events, we can see 2 to 4 feet of surface water elevation change during those large storm events. So I'm not going to read all of this, but under the second contract, which we are currently working under now, we've submitted permits, the most significant one being RIDEM's application to alter freshwater wetlands. We've also submitted for the Division of Agriculture for herbicide application. And for design and property coordination, we've continued and progressed those engineering drawings to 100% design. We've developed cost estimates so that the city can budget for the actual construction, and we are heading the coordination with the Rhode Island Airport Corporation. And we also have already submitted an operation and maintenance plan for the Phragmites australis, for 5 years after the actual construction project. And we will be doing bid administration and construction oversight later this year. To keep up with our permitting efforts to date, we submitted our original permit in May of 2018, and we were issued comments by RIDEM in August and November, and we have responded to both. The comments in August were relatively significant in that they asked us to make change to the plans regarding the 100-year floodplain and how to map it, and that actually took significant effort, but it did not change the design in any way. And RIDEM comments in November were insignificant, and we were able to address those very quickly. And we are currently awaiting permit conditions to be released and a 30-day public notice period. This is the actual plan set, and it's a little bit small, but this shows the project area. And this is on the airport's property, and it is right next to, it abuts Bucky Brook. They have 5 light towers there. And all this is showing is that the hatched area is the area of frag removal, and there is a boxed area, and that is our limit of disturbance for construction. And it also does show construction entrance from the southern side of the site. And this slide here just shows the change in surface water elevation based on the profile of Bucky Brook. So at Warwick Pond, at the mouth of Warwick Pond, during the approximate observed day, we will see 1 foot of reduced surface elevation, surface water elevation. And eventually, before we hit Warwick Avenue, it will meet the existing surface water elevation. And this is our tentative construction schedule. We are hoping that the wetlands permit will be released by April 1st, and we can move on to finalizing our draft specifications, which we are already working on. We'll provide those drawings to the City of Warwick. We'll receive comments back and address them and release bids in mid-summer. We will provide the contractor that is selected notice to proceed in August, and we will have that contractor start their herbicide application August 30th. There is a timeline for when the most effective herbicide application should occur, and it is the end of August. And we have been advised to wait 30 days after applying that herbicide before mowing, mulching, and actually removing both the Phragmites and the 2-foot approximate root mass for the most efficient removal of it. And again, we do have a 5-year maintenance plan that we submitted as part of our application to alter permit to RIDEM. And every year, if necessary, we are allowed to go back in and spray and mow and mulch and actually remove additional Phragmites. We've estimated that the construction will take approximately 5 weeks, and EA will be on site overseeing all work. And we've estimated approximately $825,000 for construction, and this is a engineering cost estimate, but we have done our due diligence, and we have worked with many, many disposal facilities and companies to price out the actual removal of Phragmites and the attached sediment from site in a safe way. We've discussed this with both RIDEM and the Office of Waste Management in pre-permitting meetings, and so we feel that it is generally a good estimate. So that's what I have to present as an overview, and I am open to questions.
Thank you. Just for clarification purposes, you've mentioned that you've put in applications with DEM and a number of departments. I'm assuming that this is a public process, that the public has input, the public's given notice. I just wanted to be clear that, you know, tonight we're not having an administrative hearing. This is just a presentation to the council to bring us up to date on your research, what you found, what your recommendations are to DEM. I know also there's a concern in this area because we don't own the property, correct? The state does. I know many citizens have expressed an interest in why should the city of Warwick be the one to remediate a problem that's on state land. So do you have a good answer for that?
I'm not sure that's my place.
Councilman, right now this is an issue we're having. We've actually had issues on Lakeshore Drive where the water from the pond is actually raising above the level of the roadway, and that was one of our initial things when we were trying to bring this to DEM's attention that we wouldn't build a road under the pond. You know, the wetland on one side and the water level of the pond on the other side are coming up and over the roadway, and we've gone out and increased the level of the road, I believe 9 to 12 inches in that area, and we're still having issues where there's flooding in that specific location. So it's a problem because it's creating a hazard for people getting in and out of their properties, as well as properties along the pond as well. It's creating an erosion issues with the private properties along the pond as well. So we're just, you know, we basically wanted to take a. This seemed to be the quickest way to resolve the problem. Is it the city where, you know, we're luckily we have, we're using CDBG funds to pay for this. It's not something that's coming out of the city's budget.
And how much do we have?
I believe Bill was here earlier. I believe we have, there might be $950,000 in it. So it can cover the cost.
Bill
Vicente.
Yeah, he's here.
Oh, he's still, yeah.
Bill, could you come up and just tell us how much?
Yes.
Bill Vicente, Community Development Office. So Eric Hendinger is correct. We are using 2010 flood disaster recovery community development block grant funds, CDBG disaster recovery funds. We were awarded $2.7 million And we have approximately $950,000 left of those funds.
So, and I don't know if this is a question for you, Bill, or possibly the consultant. I've seen other projects during my years where Phragmites is removed, and it's probably one of the fastest growing weeds I've ever seen. I know that you kind of tapered your remarks, I guess, or tempered your remarks regarding a maintenance plan. Oh, we have a maintenance plan. So it's great to go in there and spend, and I appreciate that we have block grants. We go in there, and hopefully this alleviates the problem with flooding. My own personal opinion is that the fact that we didn't have permits from the Rhode Island Airport Corporation since, I think, 1987. Bill knows the story. Bill DePasquale knows the story. What are they? Bill's a RIPTES permits. Yeah, I think one or two outfalls out of the 18 or 20 had RIPTES permits for 20 years. There were no those two of them out of the 18 or 20. And then we had the purchase and the cutting down of the trees to build the soccer fields and the softball and baseball, and then they tied in with, I don't even think they got permission to do that, tied in their drainage system, and from what I gather, it flows directly into Walk Pond, and I just see, in my unprofessional opinion, a nexus between what occurred with the expansion of the runways and what happened in and around the airport and the connection of the outfalls into that drainage system that caused the problem. I understand that there's a clog in the system and it's called Phragmites. I've just seen it in the past where it's been removed and it grows back, and then we're going to have Phil coming back and saying, hey, you cut it down, but what good is it? Because it's like grass. You got to have a mowing plan, if you will. Just because you pull it out of the ground doesn't mean, or out of the water, doesn't mean it's going to grow back. And I was just wondering what your opinion was or what you saw on those two issues, which is the changing of the outflows from the expansion of the airport and then also the cost to maintain this removal of Phragmites so it doesn't grow back.
So those are valid concerns. As far as the Phragmites, and it is an invasive species and one of the most aggressive that I've seen. It can grow anywhere, including parking lots and just a crack in some sand. Basically, the maintenance that we've proposed is similar to what the initial construction project is, but we anticipate that it will lessen each year. Currently, we've requested 5 years of maintenance, but the permit can be extended after that time. Especially if we see a need. The removal of the root wad for Phragmites will significantly decrease its reoccurrence, but it will not eliminate it. And we are not removing Phragmites along the entire length of the brook, but it will certainly decrease. And also, I did want to note that we are not disposing of the frag on site or nearby. We are taking it off site, and we're actually isolating it on the construction site and covering it so that the rhizomes and the seeds can't be blown around and to just, repopulate elsewhere. So we are we're using all best management practices in the disposal of this invasive. We're treating it very seriously, even though it is a common problem. And if there ever was, we're not here to blame or find out the who done it, basically.
We are.
I personally am not, as the technical person here. But if there was a slug of sediment, of a very sandy sediment, which what we found there through sediment probing, that's perfect condition for Phragmites to grow. And so once we remove that, it will also stop capturing additional sediment. It will actually flow through. Velocities will increase, and it will move downstream. And so hopefully we'll have less perfect conditions for this invasive to continue growing.
Yeah, it's just, I just see airport, airport, airport written all over this. And when you say sediment, where's the sediment coming from? We know where the sediment's coming from because they changed the flows. They built fields. They tied into the drainage system. And we see articles in the paper recently about, you know, they have no money to help the city of Warwick with regard to pilot funds. And here's another bill that we're expected to pay, and I would actually defer to Mr. Frascenti at this time. As part of this $800,000 to $900,000, can we continue to use money over the next 5 years out of that block grant for maintenance?
No.
That's helpful. How much is it going to cost for maintenance?
So there are no, she's saying there are no direct costs. Basically, it would be a monitoring situation with initially, and then you would see what would happen if it were growing back. It's possible that we could have some discussions with RIAC as far as the maintenance in the future, because they could have some interest in it as far as issues on their property with flow coming down as well. So we could contact them and see what they could do. Is, you know, if we're going to go in and do the big project, take out the plug, say, we could ask them if they could, you know, at least maintain it afterwards.
It's not helpful when the plug grows back.
Right, right. And, you know, I mean, it, and not for anything, but they have the experts, you know, they may have more experts environmentally on staff at RIAC and or DEM or DOT that could take this on as opposed to myself going out there, or, which I'm not an expert at it. We would have to hire another consultant, and it would be, you know, it would be a cost to the city. But, you know, there is a maintenance component to this project afterwards.
This is, you know, not to be a negative, but I mean, we're all sitting here, and we all know how fast Phragmites grows.
Right, right. So no, there's no question about
and,
it.
You know, and Phil's going to, and his group at Walk Pond's going to get all excited. We're fixing the problem.
Understood.
And we're going to unplug it, and, you know, then it's going to grow back, and we don't have a maintenance plan.
Right.
And it's disconcerting, especially considering that it's state property, and mm-hmm. it's a quasi-state governmental agency, in my opinion, that caused it. And they're not stepping to the plate either. Mm-hmm. And so I'd like to see them or discussions or, you know, if I could direct people to talk to the appropriate people. This needs to be maintained, and it probably needs to be maintained by RIAC. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of where I am on this. But Councilman Ricks.
I think Councilman Marola has made it, you know, it could have been the construction related to the airport work. I'm not saying that it is, but that could potentially have what caused it. So they're completed with the construction, so maybe the sediment would not be as quick to come down there. You know, the brook was functioning fine for many years before this, so I don't see where it necessarily would fill in quite as quickly as it did this time. But I can't say for sure, you know, as far as that goes. We're hoping that, you know, you clean it out, it'll last for quite some time. Obviously, you have to monitor it and keep track of it, so.
Councilman Corley, you had to add to that? Go ahead.
Back to your question on maintenance costs, a number just came to mind a little bit later than I would have hoped. But as far as reapplying herbicide in years to come, I do remember that the cost for that we got from our herbicide applicator was approximately $15,000, so a very tiny portion of the initial construction project. Just to give you something to think about what type of cost it would be to actually do this in the future. And I'd also like to add, as far as maintenance, that the FAA, the Federal Aviation Authority, separate from the Rhode Island Airport Corporation, is also invested in this particular location. because they have 5 light towers that they need to maintain, and they've been finding that flooding has significantly increased at the base of those light towers. So they may have some stakeholdership in actually performing maintenance in the future. This is no guarantee of that, but it's something to think about and something that I've had discussions with them in the past informally.
So when I served on the litigation committee many years ago, when the airport was expanding as part of our settlement agreement, the Rhode Island Airport Corporation gave us some money to do water quality testing, and I think, Bill, it was around $4,000 a year for testing, etc. And so the issue of their ability to help and maintain different projects, I think, needs to be looked at also. Councilman Qualley.
Where does all of the removed material go, and does this removed material have any economic value that it can be used as some sort of byproduct that someone can actually use?
Unfortunately, there is no economic value to it because the phragmites, the actual vegetation, won't be separated from the sediment, and the seed is within that excavated material. And were you to use this as cover anywhere else, it would spread that invasive species. And it's been found, actually, that you need to bury it up to or approximately 8 feet deep in order for that seed not to re-germinate. So this will not be used as a productive byproduct. And proposed locations for disposing of it include landfills. We've had discussions with Johnson Landfills based on depending on sediment testing that's performed during construction, and they could potentially take it, as can other facilities that we've also had conversations with out of state.
Can't we ship it out west to someplace where there's a desert where this stuff can just dry up?
Frag will grow there too.
Yeah. So can you just explain to us procedurally where you are in the process with DEM and, you know, public comment periods, public hearings? What's next procedurally in your recommendations?
So we are awaiting the actual permit to be tentatively approved by RIDEM, the application to alter, at which time they will start the 30-day public comment period.
And as part of that public comment period, will they have a open hearing where the public can come to speak, or are these written comments?
These are written comments, and if RIDEM, Office of Water Resources, finds that there are any significant comments, and there are the definition of significant is outlined in the wetlands regulations, then a public hearing will be held. But initially, these are written comments.
And that's the administrative process where these issues will be approved or not approved, correct?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Is there any, and thank you for your presentation. Are there any other questions from members of the council? Yes.
So from looking at what I saw, if everything works out, because you had some pretty solid dates right there. Like, I think August 12th is one of the dates where you expect to get DEM, is it?
DEM is or, April 1st.
Okay, so the you had one that said possibly get the contract or the authority to give to the construction. Then you had another one that has specific dates. So you're pretty solid, you're pretty confident that everything will go as expected so that this project can be begun in October and be done by December?
Yes, and we do have some flexibility, and actually we anticipate the project will be done by the end of October. The RIDEM has a certain in-water work period based on fish passage and other ecological concerns. I think the actual flexibility is to do with council approval. and once we actually go out to bid, approving a contractor, I believe. And Eric can speak more to that if I have not been specific enough.
As you're aware, the construction project will become before the council again. Mm-hmm. At that point, we'll have solid numbers from contractors, and we'll make a recommendation based on the contract's responses to the proposal.
Yeah.
Request for proposal. So at that point, you know, this will come before the council again, and you'll be have another shot at.
So I'd like to hear from this. Is it Tice? Thank you. I'd like to hear from this Tice.
Once more. You said that this would also be vital to save the fish and the wildlife and the natural preserve of the lake, the pond. I apologize, the pond.
Yes. Like I said, the significant portion of my career has been on fish passage, so that's what got me involved with this project to begin with. We've reviewed a number of past studies to do with the herring run, and historically the numbers have been significant in Bucky Brook, but we have evidence from multiple sources that it is significantly decreased. What this project will do, in addition to removing frag, which is basically null void for habitat for any sort of species that we want in Bucky Brook, it will also increase water depths, mm-hmm. and maintain basically good velocities, and these are the type of criteria that we aim to meet for fish passage. And so based on our H&H hydraulic and hydrologic modeling, we can meet those criteria by removing this Phragmites.
And just if we were to fast forward a little, going on the history of, let's say, Save the Bay, and going on the history of the whole purpose, one of the big purpose was to save the wildlife, save the fish species. Would you say if we don't address this, and I understand, I'm going to kind of use on your expertise you said, would it be considered like a fish kill? Besides the flooding, would it be considered a fish kill?
There will be no migration within Bucky Brook. Right now, we're seeing minimal numbers. There's actually a fish count station on Warwick Avenue, I believe, and those numbers have been significantly decreasing each year. I go out there during the fish passage season, and I haven't seen any fish.
Okay.
So it could be eliminated, potentially, from going upstream of this point.
Okay. Thank you very much. My point for asking that, Mr. President, is very simply, this is a state pond, and I know that the state takes a lot of pride and puts a lot of funding into making sure our resources survive, and the Phragmites are obviously causing a great stress to the natural wildlife in the ponds. So, and that's what I wanted to stress on that as well.
Thank you.
Is there any other questions from council members? If not, do we have a sign-up sheet for public comment? Is there anybody here that had signed up for public comment? Did anybody else that didn't get a chance to sign the sheet for public comment? If not, pursuant to Rule 41, after the general communications and prior to the consent calendar at each city council public meeting, there shall be a 15-minute period during which citizens may comment about Warwick City government issues subject to the following stipulations. The total period of time for public comment shall be 15 minutes. Comments need to be brief in order to allow as many citizens as possible to participate. The topics shall be issues directly affecting city government. City council members will not respond to questions during the public comment period. The public comment session will terminate at the end expiration of 15 minutes. A waiver of this provision requires unanimous consent. There's only one person that signed up, and Phil. Yes. So there's two members of the public that signed up for public comment, 7.5 minutes apiece. First member of the public to speak is Mr. Zarum. If you could come to the podium, and if the clerk could time that, 7 minutes, 30 seconds for each individual. Yes, if you could introduce yourself.
I just want to make sure. I thought I was number two.
What's that?
I thought I was number two on there, no?
No.
Okay.
Yep. You have signed up number one, first on the list.
Joanne signed me up. For the record, my name is Michael Zarum, Z-A-R-U-M. I'm a Warwick resident, have been for a very, very long time. And tonight I want to make it clear for the record that I'm not commenting as a resident. I am commenting as president of the Bucky Brook Coalition. And for those of you that are not familiar with the Bucky Brook Coalition, we are a state-designated watershed council. We have been vetted by the state of Rhode Island, the Rivets Council, with the purpose of what's under Title 46, Waters Navigation, Section 46.28.8, which governs local watershed councils, their purpose, the intent under state law, which, to state it simply, is to be able to address watershed matters in the Bucky Brook watershed. We're approved as the one and only official watershed council to do that. And to get vetted is based on a longtime history of over 15 years of advocating for that watershed. And President Merola also knows that it was me that proposed a lot of the strategy to get over the $100 million of mitigation that we got from the FAA and the Rhode Island Airport Corporation. We basically got every goal that we sought out to do. Our focus has kind of changed from the non-compliance with the nifty's rifty stuff, because that's all in compliance right now. There are new things that are going to be coming out, but we've shifted our focus to focus on water quality and issues like this. Part of the intent of the state law is that we have local knowledge, and we should share that local knowledge with public officials so that they can make decisions that are good decisions and not just take what somebody tells you and believe it. And with that, I just want to mention, for example, during the environmental impact statement, we were at a public meeting in Cranston where the FAA was saying, oh, we've never evaluated how much airport noise impacts home value. And I went up to the microphone. I said, can you read this report? And he said, how'd you get that report? I said, it's the report you did on home value and noise. So I hope that the city council will listen to people who have a state mission to be advocates and share information. Part of the information is from people that we have who live in the watershed, whether it's Paul Earnshaw. Paul, can you come up here? Paul Earnshaw, who's the person who discovered these Phragmites in September 2015 and called me on his phone. In September 2015, Paul was out there kayaking from Warwick Pond into Bucky Brook. He called me and said, Mike, the Phragmites have gone all the way across. I can't go any further. What do we do? I said, we got a problem. We started mapping out GIS points, putting them on maps. We went down to the Environmental Data Center and worked with professors down there. And then we asked DEM to start doing the same thing, and they did. We also asked DEM Fish and Wildlife to go out there in the spring of 2016 to do an assessment of whether the fish would get through or not. And I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about this process and what the city's getting into. And I don't want to belabor it, but back when Mr. Lattiser held the Finance Committee in April 2018 to approve some of the money, I asked him to do legal due diligence on whether the city should be involved in this and assess what the legal and financial risks are before the city steps up to do what really the state of Rhode Island should be doing here. Any expert I have spoken to on this believes that really it's the state of Rhode Island is the one that owns the land that's in there. It's not RIAC. RIAC is simply an airport operator. It's not the Department of Transportation. In looking through real estate stuff the other day, I finally realized why so many people think it's DOT. It's because before Bruce Sundland got involved with the airport, there used to be what was called the Aeronautics Commission that was under the Department of Transportation. That then changed into the Division of Aeronautics. And then it was taken out from the Department of Transportation. And I also went back, Mr. Morolo mentioned the stuff that we did with all the legal stuff before with the airport. I actually went back and looked at the record in the circuit court in Washington and who was listed as the landowner. And it wasn't DOT. It was, as I stated at Mr. Lattiser's committee in April of last year. And now I'm concerned is where is this whole thing going? And to do a reality check tonight, there's a lot of people out there that see the problems, Mr. DeCole included. He should not have to deal with elevated water levels in his property, even though it's in a FEMA flood zone. And now I'm hearing figures of it's going to relieve it a foot. And from what I'm seeing, one of the first calls I got on this was from Jay Brolin, the airport's environmental manager, back toward the end of, that was 2015. Mike, do you think the water level's high? And I said, I'm not going to eyeball it. Get your survey instruments and go out and measure it and compare it to sea level, because that's how to do it. And I asked them to put in the staff gauges, and they did. And I asked Dave Ficozzi to shoot grades on Lakeshore Drive, and he did. And I asked Dave Ficozzi in the engineering department to elevate the road, and they did. But it's still not enough. And this problem with the phragmites is no different than you got here in your bathtub, but it needs to be pulled. I want to ask everybody here tonight not to make any decisions on this, because it's still being reviewed by DEM and a lot of other people. DEM, in saying their application is complete and they're going to open a public comment period, simply means that their application, I should say the city's application, to do work, they feel that they have information to start reviewing it. They haven't started reviewing it from a wetland standpoint. Their review will be whether it impacts functions and values in the wetland. Does it further destroy functions and values? For example, for the fish run, is it going to make it worse? Well, it's already pretty bad. It's going to be hard to believe it's going to make it worse. I want to be very clear that if DEM comes out and approves a permit, they're not approving that they think that this proposal is going to work. Now, I want to point out a few things here, because Eric Hindinger has been very kind to people in the community and explaining things and listening. And with that, I have pointed out some of the discrepancies here. It's part of my training. Many of you know that my first job was with the Army Corps of Engineers, and they also have jurisdiction in that area. Many people know that it's considered by some to be a navigable waterway in there. And Mr. Earnshaw, when he first went to paddle down, couldn't navigate his kayak. It doesn't have to be a steamship. So some of the things I want to point out here, that when I've done my due diligence, what I found out, it says Bucky Brook Restoration, and I'm seeing it's more a hydrology project. Their engineer kindly stated, well, we were going to take out more phragmites, and we found out we didn't have to. We ran through the hydro model, and we don't have to take the extra phragmites out because we'll still get our drop in a foot. Well, then don't call it a stream restoration if you're only going to restore a small section. In doing diligence the other day, I noticed that the project, the plot and lat number, didn't match what I understand the plot and lat numbers to be out there. It said the project location was 2000 Post Road. And I said, 2000 Post Road, that's the Bruce Sundland Terminal. On Post Road, that's not where the phragmites are, in the Bruce Sundland Terminal. Second, absolutely, there is no long-term maintenance program. The Bucky Brook Coalition, many of you know, we did a project, small project on West Shore Road, where we got CRMC funding. We applied for the permit and everything else. I'm almost done, Steve. Let me just finish up, because it's not an administrative hearing, but it is a procedure. Let me just finish up. With this, there's no long-term plan, and there needs to be. The project's going to fail. I'll just leave you with that.
And I appreciate it, and I know we're going
to
talk more about it.
We're going to be talking more, and there are ways to get this back to the state level. No one's going to volunteer to spend over $1 million. And we haven't even talked about the Superfund site that is at the Department of Administration,
where
all of this should be. And I would hope that you would support it going there. That's it.
Okay. Phil. Yes, Phil. Philip Durkole, Ward 4, Edge Hill Road, facilitator for Friends of Warwick Ponds, the non-state designated watershed council for the Bucky Brook watershed. We have been talking about this issue for going on 4 years now. The residents who live on Warwick Pond, many of them are devastated with the amount of property they've lost, the non-use of their backyards. They can't go out in their backyard because they're afraid of getting injured by the water that's in their backyard. And what I hear tonight from Mr. Zarum, I want to thank him and the Bucky Brook Coalition for notifying everyone that there was phragmites in the brook. That's good to get the ball rolling. The other issue is I haven't heard any positive presentation of a project that will work. So to me, what the city is doing is the only game in town right now. If someone can show me another project that's going to work, that's going to be cheaper, then we're all for it. We want action. We want remediation. We want relief. Whatever that is, like I said, we're going on 4 years. December, when we sent out an email notifying everyone that there was blockage in the brook, the rising water in Warwick Pond, December of 2015, this December will be 4 years. So I think we've waited long enough. The paying for this is taxpayer money. If it comes from the grant, if it comes from the state, if it comes from the federal government, wherever it comes from, it's taxpayer money, I believe. So, you know, we are for the project. Most of the questions we had have been answered tonight by Ashley. There are still some questions that we find would be critical for us, which is the maintenance. We want to make sure that the maintenance is followed through. And I think the idea of dealing with RIAC, they've been very accommodating with us in our meetings, that we might be able to do something with the maintenance part of this, where they can allocate a certain amount of money going forward to maintain the project. And that's all I can say. We don't have many members here. I only have Bob White here, and
that's it, I think. There's only two of us here.
But we still outnumber you, okay, with only two of us. So we want you to do the right thing. We want you to support this project to give us some relief on Warwick Pond. And with that, thank you for your time, and we know you'll do the right thing. Thank you.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda is announcement of appointments. Building Board of Appeals, Felix Carlone, Ward 5. Planning Board, Nicholas Lamoureux, Ward 9. Planning Board, Linda Pelosi, Ward 6. And Planning Board, Cynthia Garlach, is Ward 7. Any of those members here? Okay. And next item on the agenda is appointments requiring confirmation, Zoning Board of Review, and committee report appointments.
Favorable action on Salvatore DeLuise to the Zoning Board of Review.
Okay, for action, Councilman, if you could move it.
Yes, I move favorable action.
Seconded by Councilman Howe, Councilman McAllister, Councilman Lattisaw. Is there any discussion to Salvatore's appointment to the Zoning Board of Review? Any discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll. A yes is for approval.
Mr. Marola?
Yes.
Mr. Corley?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisaw?
Yes.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Rick?
Yes.
Salvatore DeLuise is approved for the Zoning Board of Review. Next item on the agenda is Paul DiPetrillo. Could I have a recommendation from appointments?
Yes, favorable action to Paul DiPetrillo to the Zoning Board of Review.
Okay, and for and that's well, we haven't seconded it yet. And for action, I'll defer to Councilman Corley to move this for favorable action.
I wholeheartedly move that we approve this for favorable action.
Seconded by Councilman Lattisaw, Councilman McAllister, Councilman Ricks, Councilman McElroy, and Councilman Howe. Is there any discussion? I know we had discussion at the Appointments Committee. Any further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll. A yes is for approval.
Mr. Marola?
Yes.
Mr. Corley?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisaw?
Yes.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Rick?
Yes.
Mr.
Sinapi? Yes. The appointment of Paul DiPetrillo to the Zoning Board of Review stands approved. Next item on the agenda is the consent calendar. Could I have a recommendation from Finance?
Finance Committee recommends favorable action.
For action, Councilman Lattisaw.
Move favorable action on PCR 3119.
Councilman McAllister, Councilman Howe. Go ahead, Councilman Lattisaw.
Item 2019-210, State of Rhode Island Telecommunications Services, favorable action. 2019-226, City of Warwick District Gasoline, favorable action. 2019-230, Police Pre-Employment Medical Exams, favorable action. 2019-231, Mobile Self-Contained Food Concessions, favorable action. 2019-235, Design Print and Mail Confidence Report, favorable action. 2019-237 has become PCR 3319. 2019-238, Radiator Manufacturer, favorable action. 2019-240, Analytical Testing, favorable action. 2019-254, Internet Evidence Finder Software, favorable action.
Thank you. That's it for the... Yeah, and there's one item pulled off the consent calendar. Is there any questions on the consent calendar from council members? I know we had questions at the Finance Committee. Any questions from council members? If not, a yes is to approve the consent calendar. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Marola?
Yes.
Mr. Qualley?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Les?
Yes.
Mr. McAllister? Yes.
Mr.
McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Rick?
Yes.
Mr. Sinatra?
Agenda is PCR 3319. Can I have a recommendation from Finance?
The Finance Committee recommends favorable action with an amendment.
For action, Councilman Lattiser.
A favorable action on the amendment.
Will you move 3319 first, and we'll get a second.
3319, favorable action.
Okay, and second, Councilman McAllister, Councilman Howe. Councilman Lattiser, you want to an amendment?
The amendment was to change the code to 2010. This is the budget code 2010-001, to change it to 001.
Councilman Lattiser. Councilman McAllister. Councilman. What line item in the budget it's coming from?
Just a simple budget code change, correct.
Okay, and that's the amendment. Is there any questions on the amendment? A yes is for approval. The clerk will call the roll on the amendment.
Mr. Marola?
Yes.
Mr. Qualley?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Rick?
Yes.
Mr. Sinatra?
Yes.
The amendment to PCR 3319 stands approved. Councilman Lattiser, if you could move it as amended.
Move favorable action on PCR 3319 as amended.
Seconded by Councilman McAllister. Councilman Howe. Any discussion on 3319 as amended? Any discussion? If not, a clerk will call the roll. A yes is for approval.
Mr. Marola?
Yes.
Mr. Qualley?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Rick?
Yes.
Mr. Sinatra?
PCR 3319 as amended stands approved. Referred business, we've already voted on, that's PCO 2418. And under referred business number two, PCO 1-19, we've already voted on. So we'll go to unfinished business. PCO 2118, an ordinance to amend section 4-3, keeping and feeding of wildlife. Committee report ordinance.
For action,
Councilman Ricks.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded by Councilman Howe, Councilman McAllister. Go ahead, Councilman Ricks. You going to move an amendment? Or
we move an amendment as read into the record by the council solicitor earlier this evening.
Okay. I have a second on the amendment. Councilman Sinapi, Councilman McAllister. Councilman Howe, did you enter the record? And then we could vote on the amendment.
PCO 21-18, sub A. This amendment is proposed by Councilman Ricks and Sinapi. It is an amendment to Chapter 4, Article 1 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Warwick is hereby amended as follows. In Section B, after the word prohibited, we are inserting the language and punishable utilizing provisions of Section 1-4 in the Code of Ordinances. We are adding a new Section C that states as follows. Except as otherwise prohibited in this section, no person shall cause or allow to be left or stored outside of an occupied dwelling any refuse, garbage, food product, pet food, forage product, or supplement, salt, seed or bird seed, fruit, grain, in a manner that would constitute an attractant to any wild animal. We're adding a new section D that reads as follows. Notwithstanding the above, feeding of squirrels and birds of the order Passiformes, i.e. perching birds, including but not limited to songbirds, but not including carnivorous birds or waterfowl, shall be permitted exclusively from elevated bird slash squirrel feeders providing seed, grain, fruit, worms, or suet for birds or squirrels located within 100 feet of an occupied dwelling during such times and in such quantities that, one, such feeding does not create an unreasonable disturbance or nuisance that affects the rights of surrounding property owners, or two, is not an attractant for rats, skunks, foxes, weasels, or coyotes. Feeding of the birds of the family Trochilidae, i.e. hummingbirds, shall be permitted exclusively from elevated bird feeders providing for suitable providing food for such suitable for such birds. We're adding a new section E that reads as follows. Notwithstanding the above, feed that is deposited by natural vegetation or found solely as a result of normal agricultural or gardening practices is not a violation of this section. Adding a new section F that reads as follows. Any person violating any provision of subsection C of section 4-13 shall be subject to a warning for a first violation within a one-year period. A second violation within a one-year period shall be punishable by a fine up to $250. Third and subsequent violations within a one-year period shall be punishable by a fine of not less than $50 nor more than $500. Any such violation shall be considered a civil offense as opposed to a criminal offense.
Thank you. The amendment's been moved, read into the record, and seconded. Is there any, and I know we've had extensive conversations in committee on the amendment. Is there any further discussion on the amendment from council members? If not, a yes is to approve the amendment. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Marola?
Yes.
Mr. Pauley?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Latissa?
Yes.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Nappy?
The amendment to PCO 2118 stands passed. Councilman Ricks, if you could move PCO 2118 as amended.
Move as amended.
Seconded by Councilman McAllister. Is there any discussion? And Councilman Howell, is there any discussion on PCO 2118 as amended? If not, a yes is to approve. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Marola?
Yes.
Mr. Pauley?
Yes.
Mr. Howell?
Yes.
Mr. Latissa?
Yes.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Yes.
PCO 21-18 stands approved. Next item on the agenda is PCO 2-19 ordinance in regards to rescue fees. Committee report, finance.
Committee recommends favorable action.
For action, Councilman Latissa.
Move favorable action on PCO 2-19.
Seconded by Councilman McAllister. Councilman Howe. Go ahead, Councilman.
Thank you, Mr. President. We had extensive discussion and dialogue on this in the committee. Essentially, what we're doing here is we are simply raising the rescue fees that we charge out-of-city residents. So none of the residents in the city of Warwick will be impacted or have been impacted by any of these fees, either in the past or going forward. We're simply updating a fee schedule that has not been visited in a very long time. When this issue was brought to the attention of Mayor Solomon by myself, thanks to one of our constituents, he immediately supported this and asked that I docket this on his behalf.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion on the rescue fees? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Marola?
Yes.
Mr. Pauley?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Latissa?
Yes.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ray?
Yes.
Mr.
Sinapi?
Yes. PCO 2-19 stands passed on first passage. Next item on the agenda is PCO 4-19, an ordinance prohibiting traffic from Evergreen from turning westbound on Pavilion. Committee report, ordinance.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Seconded by Councilman McAllister. I know we discussed this in committee also. and members of the public were here. Councilman Howe, do you have anything further to add?
No, sir.
Okay. Any other council members wish to discuss this? If not, a yes is for approval of the ordinance prohibiting traffic from Evergreen from turning westbound on Pavilion. And a yes is for favorable action. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Marola?
Yes.
Mr. Corley?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Ladison?
Yes.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
PC04-19 stands approved for first passage. Next item on the agenda is PCR 94-17, bid number 2017-147, State of Rhode Island Telecommunication Services Installation and Parts Committee Report, Finance.
Hold March 18th.
Hold till March 18th. Next item on the agenda is PCR 148-17, bid number 2018-143, Installation of Sprinklers at the Cooper Building Drill Hall, Committee Report, Finance.
Hold March 18th.
Held till March 18th. Next item on the agenda is PCR 165-17, sale of former Christopher Rhodes Elementary School property. Committee report, public properties.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilman Ricks.
Move for favorable action.
Councilman Ricks moves for favorable action, seconded by Councilman McAllister, Councilman Lattisar, Councilman Howe, Councilman Corley, Councilman McElroy. Is there any discussion? I know we've had a lot of discussion on this in committee, also on the sale of Christopher Rhodes. Any further discussion on this? If not, a yes is for approval. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Marola?
Yes.
Mr. Corley?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisar?
Yes.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
PCR 165-17 stands passed. Next item on the agenda is PCR 2119, a resolution relative to Education Outreach Committee. It's not drafted. Committee report, Health, Education, and Welfare.
Hold till March 18th.
Held till March 18th. Next item on the agenda is PCR 2219, a resolution in regards to the installation of a stop sign on Chatworth Avenue, westbound heading to Lister Street. Committee report, Public Safety.
Committee reports favorable action.
For action, Councilman Sinapi.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded by Councilman Lattisar, Councilman McAllister. Again, this was discussed in committee also. Councilman Sinapi, do you have anything to add?
Nothing further.
Any other council members have any questions on this? Okay, a yes is to approve the resolution. Regarding the installation of a stop sign on Chatworth Avenue, westbound heading to Lister Street. Again, a yes is to approve. Clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Marola?
Yes.
Mr. Corley?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisar?
Yes.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
PCR 2219 stands passed. We're on to item number 9, PCR 2319, a resolution requesting the State Rhode Island DOT to re-examine Greenwich Avenue traffic pattern near Crown Plaza. Committee report, intergovernmental.
Recommend favorable action.
For action, Councilman Sinapi.
Move for favorable action.
Councilman Sinapi moves for favorable action, seconded by Councilman Lattisar, Councilman McAllister, Councilman Corley. Again, this was extensive conversation in committee. Anything else, this Councilman Tanapi?
Nothing further.
Okay. Anything from council members? Any questions? If not, a yes is to approve, and the clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Marola?
Yes.
Mr. Corley?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisar?
Yes.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
PCR 2319 stands passed. Next item on the agenda is PCR 2419, a resolution to Rhode Island DOT requesting a traffic study for Greenwich Avenue, Route 5, in the vicinity of the Greenwich Village Apartments. Committee report, intergovernmental.
Recommend favorable action.
For action, Councilman Sinapi.
Move for favorable action.
Councilman Sinapi moves for favorable action, seconded by Councilman McAllister. Is there any further discussion on this? This is a yes. Any further discussion?
Just
yes.
One thing, Council President, just an amendment to add the word state where it was omitted.
Okay. So,
road. Sorry. To add the word road.
On line 21, following the word state, insert road.
So you're moving that as amended. Do I have a second on the amendment, Councilman McAllister? And Councilman Howe, any discussion on the amendment? If not, a yes is to approve the amendment, and the clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Marola?
Yes.
Mr. Qualley?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattis?
Yes.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Rick?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
The amendment stands passed. Councilman Sinapi, if you can move favorable action as amended on PCR 2419.
So moved.
Second by Councilman McAllister. Any discussion? Any discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll on PCR 2419. A yes is to approve.
Mr. Marola?
Yes.
Mr. Qualley?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Mr.
Lattison?
Yes.
Mr.
McElroy?
Yes.
Mr.
Sinapi?
Yes.
Okay. PCR 2419 as amended, a resolution requesting a traffic study from RIDOT for Greenwich Avenue is approved. Next item on the agenda is PCR 2519, a resolution in regards to an easement on Knight Street. Committee report, public properties.
Recommend favorable action.
For action, Councilman Sinapi.
Move favorable action.
Second.
Seconded by Councilman Lattisar. Any discussion on this? Any discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll on PCR 2519, a resolution in regards to an easement on Knight Street.
Mr. Marola?
Yes.
Mr. Qualley?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Yes. Mr.
McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr.
Sinapi?
Yes.
PCR 2519 stands passed. Next item on the agenda is PCR 2119, a resolution to the Rhode Island State Traffic Commission and the State DOT requesting a no left turn traffic sign on Airport Road at the intersection of Evergreen Avenue. Committee report, public safety.
Hold till March 4th at the request of the sponsor.
Held till March 4th. Next item on the agenda is PCR 30-19, resolution relative to installing a no left turn sign on Evergreen Avenue at the intersection of Airport Road. Committee report, public safety.
Hold till March 4th at the request of the sponsor.
Hold till March 4th. Next item on the agenda is PCR 3219, a resolution relative to placing a stop signs on Evergreen Avenue at the intersection of Pavilion Avenue. Committee report, public safety.
Hold till March 4th at the request of the sponsor.
Held till March 4th. We have one announcement for referral and advertising. That's PCO 619, an ordinance amending the zoning ordinance of the City of Warwick, Great Point Group, LLC. Let's move to the doc. Yep, sorry. Is there anything for unanimous consent from Ward 1?
No.
Anything from Ward 2?
Pass.
Ward 3?
Pass.
Ward 4?
Pass.
Ward 5? Ward 7?
Pass.
Ward 8?
Pass.
Ward 9? Passes. Councilman Lattisar, if you could move us to the docket section.
Make a motion to move to the docket section.
Seconded by Councilman McAllister. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Move to the docket session. Ward 1, anything to docket?
Nope.
Ward 2?
Pass.
Ward 3?
One item, parking at Lippitt Elementary School.
It's a resolution regarding parking?
Public safety.
We'll put that in public safety.
Thank you.
Ward 4?
Pass.
Ward
4? Yes, Mr. President. I have a resolution. Title is going to be school bonds. The content is going to be regulations regarding school bonds, but I recognize the chairman of the school committee is here with us this evening, and I just want to make it clear that this may have to be held at the March 4th meeting if we do not receive all the information that we need from the bonding council in order for us to make a decision on the bonds. We need to get the bond information in a timely fashion so we'll be able to consider. So, having said that, I just don't want anyone to think that, you know, we're holding this for no reason.
And I believe I'm a co-sponsor of that.
Yes, you are a co-sponsor.
And I don't know.
And I would like to ask any other of my colleagues to co-sponsor.
Is any other? So Councilman Ricks would like to co-sponsor the bond referendum for the school expenditures for the bond. Councilman Howe would like to be a co-sponsor. Councilman McElroy, Councilman Coyle, you want to be a co-sponsor for the school bonds, Councilman McAllister, and Councilman Sinapi. So that's been docketed and co-sponsored for the bond referendum. Anything else, Councilman?
No, sir.
Councilman McAllister. Councilman Sinapi.
Just one resolution creating a commission to review and make recommendations on changes to Chapter 4 of the Warwick Code of Ordinances.
Okay, I'll go to ordinance, and I didn't put Councilman Lattisaw's in. I'll put that under finance, the one you docketed. I had one to docket, and that's a resolution supporting the restoration of public moorings at